Well, good morning again, and happy Sabbath to each of you. Today we're going to be looking at On the Rock. What's on the rock? Of course, to this part of this lesson today, we're going to find that Christ has established his church on the rock. And Christ is that rock, what do you say? I want to encourage you today and challenge you today to read the first chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles. It's God's purpose for his church. And I found that reading to go quite well with this lesson today that I want to share with you. Today we're going to be looking at Christ's church, the purpose of his church, and why God has established his church on planet Earth. And before I do that, I just have something I want to share with you that I found very interesting as I was going through the Acts of the Apostles. Here's a paragraph that I'd like to share with you to start out this morning. It says this: "The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men." Do you all agree with that? That God is using his church for the salvation of men? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Bible is very clear that Christ added to the church such as should be saved. Let me just continue to read here. "It was organized for service." How many of you believe that today? The purpose by which God organized his church was for service. It's about reaching out, meeting the needs and the demands of the community, of those around about us. And its mission is to carry the gospel to all the world. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to go to all the world to share that wonderful gospel. I've had people tell me, "I don't know what to share. What should I share?" Friends, you don't have to share the 2300 days. You don't even have to share the Sabbath. You can share Jesus. Amen. Have you experienced the grace and the love of Christ? Have you experienced Jesus in your personal life? Then, friends, you can share Jesus to the world. Amen? Everybody needs Jesus. We all need Christ. "From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency." Let's read that again. "From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected." In other words, what we reflect to the world is God's fullness. In other words, his character, his love, his care, his sufficiency, how he takes care of and he works on behalf of his children, his people. "The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are to show forth his glory." Those whom he has called out of, the church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places in final and full display of the love of God. In other words, in full display, God is going to use his church to show his love to the world. His love. And that's the foundation of God, isn't it? God is what? God is love. Heavenly powers, principles, heavenly principalities and places. God, through his church, wants to display this one attribute of him, that he is a God of love. And did not God show that through the death of his son, by dying on Calvary's tree for you and I? Did Christ not die so that we can be redeemed from sin, the penalty and the condemnation of sin? God wants to display to the whole world, through all the unseen forces and outside of our sphere, that God is a God of love. No wonder Satan wants to attack his church. No wonder Satan wants to destroy or distort the image of God within his church. Let's get all caught up about ourselves and concerned about ourselves, fight amongst the selves and draw lines down the middle. Contention and disrupt the church body so that the love of God is not fully seen or exemplified within the family. Now, here's another challenge I want to give to you today, found again in Acts of the Apostles. It says this: enfeebled and defective as it may appear. Now, listen to this. "Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object by which God bestows, in a special sense, his supreme regard." We talked about this last Thursday night. But God has bestowed his greatest desire for his church. And notice that. Underscore this today in your mind here today. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear. It may look like the church is going down the wrong road. It may appear that the church is headed down the wrong direction. it may appear, enfeebled and defective as it may appear, God gives His supreme regard to His church. What do you say? What right do we have to pick on the church? To pick on leadership? To pick on anything? Well, friends, granted, there is a balance here. There is a balance here that we need to be careful with as well. You know, holding people accountable to the standard by which God has established in His church. But how often have we heard people picking on the church and pointing fingers at the church? The church doesn't do this right. The church doesn't do that right. Friends, that's not our place. And we're going to point here in just a minute. What is our position? What is our place? What has God established for us? Let's go back to that first paragraph. God has established His church for service. We are called to service in His church. Amen? We've been looking at discipleship over the last month or two, and we're going to continue on until the first of the year looking at discipleship. But I want to come back here. Friends, we must be committed and dedicated to the church and support the church before we can be disciples of the church. Amen? You have to agree with what you're selling. Amen? I remember way back, everybody's trying to go green, you know, with the type of chemicals people are using in their houses. And remember those salesmen, they would come by, those young guys, they would come by and they say, I have this new stuff, you can squirt it on anything, it will clean everything, and you don't have to worry about it destroying the environment. And then he'd open the lid and drink it down, you know, and you're like, ew, you know, but he's all, I'm so sold on this, you know. Friends, we have to be sold on what we are sharing with the world. You follow what I'm saying? Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object which God bestows upon Him the special sense of His supreme regard. Now notice what else she says here. It is the theater. It is the theater of His grace. In other words, we as a church body are to exemplify the grace and the love of Christ within this body, in which He delights to reveal, she goes on to say, reveal His power. Did you catch this? God wants to reveal His power in the church, and I added that, to transform hearts. Purpose of the church is transformation. Amen? To transform hearts, that God may be revealed within the congregation. Now, purpose of God's church, we're going to look at 5 points today. Point number one. Going back to Matthew chapter 16, let's look at these verses very closely here. Matthew chapter 16. And you might want to read the few verses before, but I'll just give you the insight. Some were saying, wondering who this Christ was. Was he a prophet of some sort? And he turns to his disciples, and Peter responds, and Jesus asks the question, but whom do you say that I am? Jesus asks to the disciples. And Peter, looking at Jesus, said unto him, Thou art the Christ, Thou art the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, you are the Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, here's where I'm going next. Number one, God, or Jesus, is to be glorified in the church. How so? Let's look at this. Verse 18, I say unto you, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Catholicism has built a doctrine all around this, that Peter was the first pope, so to speak, of the church, and thus through successive generations, there's always been a leader of the church. But if we take a careful look at this and dialogue or even discussion or even study of this, we'll find out that Jesus was doing something systematically here. He was looking at Peter, number one, and he pointed to Peter. And as you well know, Peter was the forerunner of the church in the apostolic church when the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter began to preach. But most importantly, Peter pointed to Jesus, amen? Jesus was to be glorified. And then Jesus says something next. He says, upon this rock, you are Peter. The word Peter simply means a stone or a piece of a stone, maybe a little pebble. It's the word Petros. And the two words are different. Peter means Petros, and the rock here is Petra. Petra is a giant boulder, a giant outcropping of rocks. It's a hard, large rock, and Peter is just a piece of that. And the word Peter just simply means a stone. You are a little pebble or a little stone. But Jesus says, you are Peter, but upon this rock you are a man. God never intended that a church would be built around or upon an individual. But God has established that through Christ His church would be built and His foundation would be the rock of ages. Amen. Who is that rock? It's Christ. So first and foremost, in this one particular lesson here today, God has desired and planned to build His church upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ. And all through the New Testament, whenever the rock is mentioned, there's a reference to Jesus, and it's that word Petra, and it points to Christ. In other words, friends, coming back here, the purpose of the church is to glorify Christ. Jesus is to be magnified, Jesus is to be glorified, Jesus is to be established in the congregation. He should be seen foremost than any one of us in this congregation today. What do you say? No wonder Paul went on to say, I desire to know nothing except what? Except what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. First and foremost, in order to be disciples, to be disciples is a disciple or a learner of Christ. Jesus must be first in everything that we do and say. What do you say? The problem is that we tend to focus on ourselves, my wants, my desires, my intentions, my inclinations, what I think should go, what I think should happen. Friends, that's not what church is all about. Church is about glorifying Christ. And if you walk into this sanctuary and through these doors today, and it's all about self, you're in the wrong place. Because Jesus wants to be glorified. And friends, God cannot bless. Let's go back to that paragraph. It is the theater by which God wants to reveal. That's a powerful statement, what she is saying. Wants to reveal His power. I mean, we're talking dynamo, dynamite. God wants to reveal that power to transform hearts. We come here to see Christ, not any man or any person. We come here to see Jesus. We don't come here with our own personal agenda, our own desires. We come here to find out what Christ wants for us. It's time to commune with Christ, not with each other. It's time to commune with Jesus, asking Christ what He wants done in my life. And of course, the rest of the message is, Jesus is the rock. We must build our foundation upon the rock. I want to ask you individually today, is Christ the center of your life? Is Christ the center of your home, your life, everything that you do? Because without Christ being the center, you cannot be His disciple. Because self will always get in the way. Now, let's just take it another step further. When we come into the congregation here today, do you have your own agenda? Is Christ the center of this congregation today? Is Christ the center of our church? Is Christ the motive by which we are here today? Because if Christ is not, then His power will not be revealed in this congregation. Christ must and has to be the center of our congregation. Number one, to glorify Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that Christ gave Himself for the church. Christ is the head of the church. So then, the church then glorifies Christ. Number one. Point number two, we've looked at this already. Point number two is that Christ said, my house shall not be a place for selling or a marketplace, but it shall be called a house of what? House of prayer. Mini-scripture, we just looked at this recently. Point number two, friends, we must have prayer initiated within the congregations. That's why I feel it's important that after our service, after the sermon time, we spend time in devotion to prayer. It's important because we've come to talk to Jesus, not to each other. Although that is important. And we'll talk about that in another setting. But it's important, but prayer should be the center by which we come and to visit and talk with Jesus. Amen? Number three, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, if you will turn there. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible is very clear that it says, God added to the church such as be what? Should be what? Such as should be saved. Interesting, isn't it? That the purpose of the church, of the apostolic church, was salvation. The church is the place by which people are going to be saved or find salvation. Friends, we can't glorify ourselves and save others. Amen? It's impossible. We must glorify Jesus because Jesus is, if I be lifted up, I will do what? I will draw all men to myself. So salvation comes through the church, yes, but it comes to pointing people to Christ. And I dare to say that God's not going to open the doors and just pour out people until Christ is the center of everything we do. Everything we do. When we make Jesus the center, God will bless. And I illustrate it this way, salvation of souls. But how do those souls hear unless they are preached to? So to me, point number three, hand in hand, salvation of souls and witnessing. Witnessing goes hand in hand. You can't have souls unless we go out and witness. In fact, Paul goes on to say this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. You don't have to turn there. He says, how can they hear unless they have someone to preach? It's not just me as the preacher, but we've all been called to be preachers and ministers of the word. Amen? Wherever we go, whatever we do, to preach the word. Timothy, when Paul writing to Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, and so forth. He says, in all times, exhort. Preach the word all times. We are to be witnesses outside of the congregation. We are to witness to the world. Friends, in order to have salvation for souls, the church is the salvation for souls through Christ. They don't come. God just doesn't go knock on the door and bring them. We must be out there preaching the word. Salvation of souls and witnessing go hand in hand. Point number four. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. It's the Great Commission. He says, go out and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That same word, teach, is to make disciples. Make disciples of all nations. We're to go to the world and make disciples. But in order for us to make disciples, we must be what? We must be disciples. And Christ has to be the center. In other words, the church is the training ground by which others are brought in. Make disciples. We are to go to the whole world. Did you catch that? To the whole world. Where is the ground that we are to work? It's the world. All about us. It's the whole sphere. We are to go to the whole entire world with the wonderful gospel of Jesus. Oh, but Pastor, what do I tell them? What do I preach? Do I tell them about the Sabbath? Do I tell them the 23-day? What? Friends, you have Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Christ? Are you part of Christ's body? Have you partaken of Christ's body? You see how it works here? In order to be to evangelize, to pray, we must have Christ. Jesus must be the center of our attention. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says this, and this is point number five. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of what? Pillar and the ground of truth. Point number five is that God's church is to present truth to the world. Oh, we don't need doctrine. We don't need those teachings. Is that so? No. The truth opens our eyes to see what false is. And it's a light, as David said, a lamp unto my feet. Gives us direction. Shows us the places which we should go. How to live, how to orientate, and so on. It shows us how to live a Christian life. Without doctrine, I think we would be lost. But Jesus said he came to present truth to the world. Point number one. Glorify Jesus. Point number two. Our house is to be called a house of prayer. Point number three. The church is for the salvation of souls and witnessing. Four, making disciples. And number five, the ground of all truth. Let me ask you this here today. In any of this, where are we seen? In any of this lesson here today, in all this lesson here today, who's seen the most? Jesus is. In other words, friends, Jesus must be and has to be the center of our attention. My appeal for all of us here today is, in order for us to be disciples for Christ, Christ must be the center and the focus of our church, the world church, and importantly, our individual lives. Friends, when we begin to do what God has asked us to do, the devil is going to attack. He loves it when we're just sitting on a bookshelf somewhere. He loves it when we're just idly sitting by wondering what to do next. He loves that. But when the church moves, the devil gets upset. Why? Because he knows that he has what? A short time. Friends, we are wrestling in a battle between good and evil. Just this week, I had a Bible study with an interest, and we had an appointment for afternoon, and as the person put it, all hell broke loose the day before. It's inevitable, friends. When people come to the Word of God, when people start to do what God has asked, the devil is going to be on your tail. That's just the way it is. Accept it. Believe it. But God has done something wonderful for us. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist. Friends, the devil is like a roaring lion, but he has no teeth, no claws. All he can do is boast big things, but he can't hurt you. He can try. He can't destroy your faith. He can bring you down. He can affect your health, yes, but he can't take away your faith. God has great plans for this church, his church. Christ died for his church. And I want to challenge us as a body today to expect big things because God has big things planned for his church. He wants to reveal his power in his congregation. But in order for that to take place, Christ has to be the center. My appeal for us today, God's purpose for his church is to glorify Jesus, that we have a house of prayer, the salvation of souls, witnessing, making disciples, and obviously the ground of truth. I want to ask that you will pray for these things in our churches today. Not just in the local congregation, but as the world church. And let me encourage you too. I believe that we are doing work that is effective for the Lord. Encourage us that with your kindness and your gentleness and your love that you touch other people's lives, that you continue to do that, that you share the gospel with others, you continue to pray as I've heard you doing, that you spend time in fasting and prayer as I've heard some doing. Friends, there's good things happening. But lest we lose our way in the dark where Satan wants to tempt and challenge, let's pray now that Christ will be the center of this platform and of this congregation. How many of you heard about our North American Division President, Don Schneider? Brain tumor affecting his sight. And he's a powerful, powerful preacher. And I believe God has called him. And the devil attacks, you know. But he needs some surgery. Let's pray for our North American Division President. people in our congregation that have fallen sick with ailments. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our worldwide mission that the gospel will be preached to the whole world so that Jesus can come. Let's pray for the ministry in this congregation here today. Let's pray for the pastor. Let's pray for our elders. Let's pray for our deacons and deaconesses and all the way down. Let's pray for the ministries in our church that Christ in all things will be glorified so that Jesus can come. So that we can win souls, so we'll be held accountable, so that we will do what God has asked us to do in this area. Let's preach the gospel. Let's share Jesus more. And let's pray that those that are already preaching the gospel will continue and will be blessed. We have Bible study interests that I'm following up in our area here. We have individuals that are just coming in through our front doors nowadays. And let's pray for those. Let's pray for encouragement and empowering. Hearts will be transformed and renewed. And by all means, let's pray that our hearts will be transformed and renewed as well. So we're going to take this opportunity over the next 5 minutes or so to turn to one another in small groups quietly and reverently and pray and ask for that God in Christ would be seen and center of our congregation, and that you would pray for those things that were mentioned here today.
Father in heaven, again, it is a great privilege that we have to bow our heads this hour and to acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior. We have heard sermons like this in the past to make you glorified and ask that you'll be center of all of our attention. But Father, if we're going to be disciples, if your church is going to be glorified on planet Earth for the salvation of souls, then we must realize, we must pray for, we must ask daily for the baptism of your Holy Spirit, and that you would be center of everything that we do and say. From this day forward, Lord, let us be reminded this church has been established for you, that you have called, that you had purposed it, that you have created it, again, for your glory. Let us refrain, Lord, from our attitudes or our voices that speak against your church. But help us, Lord, to fall in love with your church once again and to be reminded that you have a purposed plan, that this church will be an avenue that souls may be converted to you. In this hour, may our hearts be drawn to you, Lord. May you touch each one of our hearts this very moment. Send forth the gift of your Holy Spirit upon us. Go up and down these aisles today. Go in and out of the pews and touch each heart, that it may be softened, that it may be transformed, that it may be renewed this hour, that as we go out into the world to serve, that our hearts will reflect Jesus. Forgive us, I pray, of our shortcomings and of our sins, and answer these prayers that were mentioned in this congregation this hour. And may our church truly be a house of prayer. This is my heart's desire, in Jesus' name. Amen.